Welcome to the CCG podcast. My guest today is Göra Seliger. He is Artistic Director and founder of Red Noses International, an organization that has the purpose of bringing humor and laughter to those in need of joy. Red Noses is active in 11 countries with 650 clowns, working with children in hospitals, the elderly and people in crisis like refugees. Today, I talk with Göra about the power of laughter and joy, the art of clowning and leadership. And most importantly, a couple of years ago, I invited Göra and his team to work with my clients during a leadership offsite event with the intention to spark trust through joy. And I'm excited to share the story together with him for the first time in public. I'm very happy to have Göra here today and look forward to this conversation.
Yes, hello, hello. Thank you for the invitation. I'm at least as excited as you, because every meeting, and well, maybe I'm in the vivid of the course already, is a meeting. Every visit, every encounter is not only a challenge, it's a chance to go together on a bridge. What is the purpose? I think when there is suffering, there should be also release. And release might be a kind of alienation sometimes from your own situation. And here, I think alienation is linked a little bit with humor. It's not only a rational analysis of the situation. A humor, as we all know, is always also a method and a weapon of the weeks, which means it's very simple, a challenge for survival. It's a help for survival. So where you suffer the most, I think there humor has to be present, knowing that the humor cannot take away the source of your sorrow or of your agony, but it can help you to change a little bit perspective, to change perspective, to get more self-confidence, to work on your own vitality, and I think humor is a sign of vitality. When we are young, we laugh a lot. As an adult, we already reduce the amount, the quantity of laughing. And when we are old, sometimes it's even less. And I don't know if this is a good sign, because then we know what at the end. But I think keeping this strength alive, the strength of using a laugh, using a kind of a sort of an empath, a sort of a one-way street, it's a perspective. It's a question of perspective. It's a question of how you see things, you know, half full, half empty, which can deliver strength and confidence.
You also talked about the importance of the vitality, mm-hmm. and also the will to live and to survive that is maybe fostered and supported by humor and laughter. And what I know about what you're doing, it's almost like a paradoxical intervention. So instead of avoiding the pain, of avoiding the vulnerability, it's a way of taking the energy, of taking what's there and transforming it into something differently. You don't add something that's not there, but you always work with the situation as you find it and pick it up. And then there is a kind of this energy transformation that lasts much longer than the situation itself.
Definitely. And it's very often a moment which we unfortunately have to ignore. And we don't know so much, but we believe in it. We believe in this strength of having created an environment which invites you to go along. For humor, we take the symbol, which is called the clown, which is for a lot of people a symbol of a character, which is the funny release, you know, the cultural funny release in their society, in what they know. And typical for these characters is that they live in the present. And even I would go so far that they come without intentions. So I think our audience does understand that we live right now in the moment where we create a situation together. Like I said in the beginning, it's an encounter, it's a bridge. So we create something together, and don't tell them necessarily what to do. So we sometimes do have also in refugee camps, then a little show sometimes with little pedagogical into intentions. But if we really go on a parade, if we just meet the people, we don't have any further intentions than just meeting them and being on the same level as them, because that's typical for this in kind of inclusive humor we need to have. So it's not a humor of irony or cynism or sarcasm or too much on the behalf of somebody else or third person. Rather, it's a inclusive humor, which puts us all together right now in a situation of needing creativity to sort it out, and if not, you stay there and it's funny and we all have a good laugh. So the clown also does not necessarily has to leave as a winner, you know. Even if he is leaving as a loser, you will have this famous, like from all American series, you know, ooh, this kind of still having the heart, having reached the heart of his audience, even as a loser. So we are with these clowns. We accept them as a symbol of humanity, or as a symbol of our own weakness, or for some situations we have past or we are still living in. The clown and humor also not only invites to laugh, but invites in one way sometimes not only invite about yourself, but invite maybe also to laugh about the person who is spreading out humor, you know, because he's inviting to laugh about himself. And so you can take the chance and laugh about somebody else. Because it's an invitation.
So this is not like a show in order to achieve that people are entertained, but it sounds more like you pick up something that's there and the clown becomes the manifestation of a certain emotion, of a fear, of an insecurity.
Yes, that's right. So it's not a prepared show. So for sure, every clown and every group of clowns or couple of clowns has some baggage in the pocket, in the pockets. But what we do will be decided in the moment. So how we do it, what we do it, depends really on also the offer of our audience. So we give the audience always the idea of carrying the responsibility for the continuity of this event, of this encounter. So they know how it will continue. Individual experience you do as a clown and as an audience. No, it's a collective experience. When there is a saying that laughter is contagious, that then we celebrate something like going to a cinema. We celebrate something collectively. Together, we have the same focus right now. Together, we live the same moment. And it's not only me, it's also the other one. So one more time, I'm so curious very often what happens when we leave, but I know by now that very often the locations, the kind of hidden that people don't communicate enough, you know, that they cannot be together, is very often solved, at least for a while, when clowns have left. So there seems to be an open gate all of a sudden to not only digest what happens, but only to encourage to go on like this a little bit, to keep this spirit of well-being right now and to keep it alive as long as possible. So that's one typical position of a fool, of a jester, of not having necessarily the top of the hierarchy, rather eventually making fun of the top of the hierarchy and inviting like this to create a solidarity, to create a human release. But usually the fool, the jester, the clown finally is at the bottom of the social ladder.
And this bottom of the hierarchy gives a lot of freedom. You're free to say whatever, you're free to do whatever. You are not caught in this good looking act.
So yes, the clown had this naivety and this innocence to say things, yes.
Which is a tremendously powerful position to come from and has also a lot of transformative potential. And maybe talking about hierarchies, we can maybe switch to the field that I work in most of the time, which is organizations, which are also in need of joy. I think they're in dire need of joy and laughter and release. And I've seen the level of, I would say, stress and of suffering, also of emotional suffering, is hugely, it is rising. The density of suffering is increasing. And this idea of helping them to work with joy and laughter is something that we, the two of us, already have unleashed. About 8 or 9 years ago,
That long ago, all right.
I think it's that long ago. So maybe I just give our audience a short introduction of what the situation was. Mm-hmm. So I've been working for quite a couple of years with one of the biggest, or maybe even I think the biggest Romanian organization. And I worked with the members of the board. And also with the next direct reports of them for quite a couple of years. And the idea was to change and improve the culture. It was about performance culture. And there was a meeting that I had again with the board members, and we were preparing the next offsite meeting. We said this time we're going to invite the direct reports and the direct reports of the direct reports, which would be about 130 people. In a two-day huge resort outside in the mountains on the countryside of Romania. And I prepared a concept. And then all of a sudden, the CFO, a young CFO, he said, you know, Julia, we've been working now with you for a long time and we really appreciate your work. But this time, I would like to have a session where people play with each other, play something. I was like, okay, great, thank you, I'll take it. And afterwards, I was desperate. I was, how can I play with 130 people? I have no experience with this. I'm not really a very good instructor of plays. And then I thought, okay, I need help. And the second thought was, I need to call Giora. And you said immediately, yes. And what we want to do with this intervention, with this meeting, is to increase the level of trust, which is not a super easy thing to do. And we said we need to do something that's so strong, that's so disruptive, and it's so different that it is able to transform the energy from mistrust to trust in just like 1 or 2 days.
Yes, well, as you said, 130 people. If I would work with one group of 130 people, for sure, a lot of people will see the numbers, simply the size of such a group, as a threat, as something, you know, they cannot open up. So you have to reduce this amount, this group size. So what we decided, I think, is to split it up in 5 or 6. I think rather 6 than 5. So we were about 20 for each group, I think. And I think this is important for confidence, is to be in a smaller environment where you can stand up easily, more easily at least, and face a group of together. And because what we do is sometimes we work on the joy. I think that's very important. You have to work on the joy. You have to think by all pedagogical side effects that they should have enjoyed this day openly, without second thoughts. They don't have to. We have to initiate them to enjoy. And so you give kind of simple challenges, you know, where you usually fail. They sound easily, they're easy to hear, easy to listen, but difficult to do. So there you fail already. And then we kind of try to mix up hierarchies. So I think in my group, there was the CEO, but it was a female director. She was together with all kind of different levels of management, and they all did this exercises and games. And I'm not ashamed of calling them games, because I think the playfulness is a very important quality. So I don't necessarily call it exercise or I don't know what. So it's a play and an invitation. And so they failed all together, and they had a good laugh about each other. You know, once you, once me, we always fail. And everyone does it, because again, it's not that easy as it looks like or it sounds like. And so you go, and you can't imagine that you would fail about simple things like this, just to count 1, 2, 3, you know, can be very difficult. Mm-hmm. And so I think this is a common experience. We are not here to ask about hierarchy, but hierarchy is very often necessary in order to advance. But it always needs his own definition. It always needs to see that it doesn't kill anything. That it just the opposite, should be a cradle of collective energies. And in this way, I think you have to have certain invitations to for every individual to open up, you know? And that's for sure not the fear of failure. That's for sure a killer for everything, you know? So in this way, this confidence is very important. This humanity is very important. And as a matter of fact, in all institutions, we usually have passed our life, you know, from parents' home to school to later on. I think the more rigid these systems are, the less you get out as a playful or a joyful person.
I think this was so intriguing about the work that you did in Romania, is talking about hierarchy, which is really a huge thing, especially in this. It's not a young company, and it's from a typical, very hierarchical social system anyway. Is really to invite him to do the one thing that they normally want to avoid, which is to fail in front of others, to be ridiculous, to be weak, to show their weakness, to be vulnerable. This is the one thing everybody wants to avoid. And this is the exact situation in which you invite them, which is this big relief that you say everybody is a human being. This is what I think was the most important thing, is that they were meeting each other as a human being and not the director of this and board member of this. And I can remember that I was at the opening of one of the sessions and then I left, of course. I didn't want to be there. I was hearing laughter from all of the different rooms. It was so beautiful just to be in this space and see the whole energy in this whole resource shift in absolutely no time. But the instructor, and we called your colleagues, you called yourselves artists and not clowns, which I think is helpful for them. Because artists is something that they can accept, that they understand, and they're also free to do whatever they can. And the first thing, I think it was Martin, said, you know, so let's play together. And I absolutely don't care who is who and what your importance is and what your position is and who is the board member. So he put this away immediately, and it seemed that people were super relieved. And then I went to another room and I saw that people had this task of moving around the room without putting their butts away from the chair. So they were like crawling and but they were also had like with the feet, they were robbing through the room on this chair. And it looked absolutely ridiculous, but everybody was ridiculous. And alone this experience that they had together is something you cannot get behind it. So I mm-hmm. think this is the sustainable part about it, is you will never be able to not have had this experience together. And this is like a place where you can always again go back to be more relaxed, to be more effective in the end of the day.
Yeah, to embrace
their creative.
To embrace their own potential, you know, and sometimes to see the potentials of others. And like you mentioned, these people who might really not kind of have right now the potential of getting into this atmosphere, which is all which can happen, you know, which exists, but they take along that these people enjoyed it, they took along and maybe other people took along that, okay, this person who couldn't make these steps but is there to accept them. Is there maybe this person wants to stay for a while in his or her nutshell, but it's okay. It's okay. We take her along, we take him along, and still we can have a good laugh about it. So
yes, but there was amazingly little nutshell. Also for me it was a little bit of a risk too.
Yes,
to invite you. I didn't really know what was going to happen. I somehow we had this briefing, but then I gave like I could only go with trust.
Mm-hmm.
Not trust only in you, because I knew you were super professional, so that was not the risk for me, but how would people respond to it? Of course, they were a very important client for me, huge client for a long time. So if they would say, this was, what did you do here? I would be at the risk of losing them and also losing a big opportunity that they wanted to give themselves. Then there was the workshop. I knew already it was going to be great because I could hear laughter everywhere. So that was also a big relief for me. I said, okay, okay, I'm safe now. That's working. That's great. Mm-hmm. And I once sneaked into your workshop room and I saw you work with the CEO and she was laughing. And I was like, okay, if she's laughing, everything's good.
Like it used to be, you know, very often humor you did for one person or any kind of theatrical or artistic creation, you know, it had to please the king. And if the king liked it, you know, the whole court had to accept.
But the good thing is most people didn't see her because there were other workshops and they still enjoyed it. So it was not, it was on one part. Yeah, sure.
And again, as you said, you heard this laughing and you felt it as a release, you know. And so laughing is very often a release, you know, in one way or another, you hear it or you participate. It means that collectively we enjoy something, you know, we participate in a collective secret, in something which really is known only by the people who are inside the room, you know, but you could hear just the product, just the effect, you know. The real secret is inside. Thank you.
And then in the afternoon, we had like the feedback rounds. I put people in small groups. So yeah. I think you were gone already. I don't know if you were still in the room. And I had them like work on a few questions, like very simple questions, like, how was it with you, for you? How do you feel now? What was the impact? What worked well for you? Is there something you didn't like about it? And the feedback was like, they said, Julia, you know, this is the best thing we've ever done. This seeing each other fail and also succeed, also to be happy about the success of someone else is as important as the failure. This was something new to them.
Yes, and it was generous. It was generous from your side. It was generous from the management side or from the contractor side. It was generous with the risk of failure. And I think generosity is, in this way, always an invitation. I think it's really so needed in this management world to come back to his playfulness, to come back to his individual construction, which is a human being at the very end of the day, which usually likes to play, you know, and which then, even if it has to make an effort, is very often jubilated for this effort, is very often supported by the situation and by the others and etc. So this is something I think in general for a management, it's maybe a little bit of a dark spot, which they don't look enough upon, you know, to find this fulfillment of empowering people, you know, to this open invitation, this general invitation. And for this, you have to go as a manager with everyone into the ring, you know.
On the contrary, there's an invitation not to show this part of your being a human being. Yeah. It's sometimes considered as well, this fear of being not professional. And people want creativity in organizations and empowerment, but they don't want play or playfulness. They want to have joy, but they don't want to have the other part of it, which is this failure in front of each other. Everything that's needed to create something new and to learn. As a learner, we heard in another podcast, as a learner, you cannot fail, is what failing
Guy
says.
And that's right.
There is this huge fear of failure, of showing up fully, that, as you say, prevents to embrace the full potential that is here. Yeah. And that would be really needed. And right now in organizations, if they go on with a very linear way of thinking and blocking out like 7 out of 8 layers of what it means to be a human being, they will not be able to respond to a complex or chaotic situation that would need a body response that would be neither the quality of intuition or of as you say, of a collective consciousness connecting to each other. So each person is on its own using its cognition, and with this humor that is not, can't be taken seriously enough, right?
No, never. Succeeded in so many things, we have to see the risk of going only in this direction as a hierarchic militaric approach. I think we gained enough of territory. There's always more, and there's always not enough, and I don't know what. And you have young business; they have to succeed and find their positions in the market, etc., with competitors. But at the same time, it's always a game. It's always, if you include that today, I think you have a better chance of success, because there is one more time, a bigger quantity of potentials that are gathered together. A whole, you know, as a complete system needs sometimes the contrast. So I think in this moment where we are very, as a company, we should go, you know, and find and do and I don't know what, there is this moment for a necessary moment for the opposite, for the release, for to forget about it for a while and to see what is then the release out of these moments of exceptions, these moments of including other energies. And if nothing works, we all fail, you know?
Absolutely.
We take so many informations about everything, you know, from China to Sweden. We hear and we want to be perfect, you know. We study astrology and we study all kind of medicines. We want to have a perfect, but we always have to accept that all these things can bring us straight to hell. So, like you say, you know, the way to hell is plastered with good intentions.
Addressing you as a leader yourself, how do you lead? So what is the kind of leadership that you show that you think could be maybe also a role model for others, or maybe an offering, as you say, an invitation?
I think you have to be clear in what is it you really expect. And I think from a clown, I expect that he or she is mastering the situation in which he or she is. So, which means a clown has to have or develop very quickly these tools in order to encounter people and to finalize most of the time the situation in terms of that he has given something, he, she has given something which is kind of left for these people when once you leave the room, you clown leave the room, is kind of existing, is taken over then by this audience. So this has to be, I subsumed this thing in a horrible phrase, which is the best show on earth every day, you know. So I think this should be our goal, and we should try to reach it. We fail sometimes. Sometimes we fail for quite a period, and then we have to see what is the human part. Why? What is bothering this person right now? Not to be on the peak of this qualities. And then we have to see how we can overcome the situation. You know, how can we help to overcome a situation? How can we? But we have to make understand also that this is needed, and this is the thing we gather all together around. So in this way, I think a clear place where you want to go, you know, and with the best support to reach it. But we also have to see that sometimes we fail and we try to with the person to go along and to help and to reach, but we have to admit that after a year, after 2 years, it still doesn't really be, it doesn't, it's not yet to its potential it should be, you know, as a show, as with the partnering and et cetera, so in this way, then we have to see how we solve this situation. So in this way, I think clear focus, you know, what is it you what is the umbrella you're giving to be under the umbrella, you know?
Yeah. Like this, as we say with the very simple model, it says it's the job of a leader is to challenge people, to support them and to give them feedback.
Yes.
And also maybe take steps if it really doesn't work over time.
Yeah.
And also see maybe this is not the right spot for a person. Yeah. Sometimes to take this hard decision, that's the beauty about about, I think, hierarchy is that you really protect the whole.
Yeah.
While supporting individuals, but to achieve the goal is always even more important.
Yeah.
Than an individual person, you have to protect the intention and the purpose of this organization.
Yeah.
Which is a hard job sometimes.
It's
but
a very
necessary.
Hard job. And that's why we are an organization, in order to support really this artistic approach. You know, it is not just a human activity which we want to give to people in need of something. So people with good intentions, we have a lot. But those who can transform that into an artistic relationship, a humoristic relationship, into a performance relationship. This is something else, you know. This is an additive quality, and we are looking for this additive quality. I think all these artists which working with us, I don't test immediately if they have also the human qualities. They usually have them, you know, and if not, they develop them. And in the worst case, if they don't find them, you know, if it just a job and they don't care, and usually this comes out we separate, you know. There's a moment that they don't have enough time for that, or I don't know what, and it's okay. But usually this human quality develops, you know. Yeah. While doing it, because it's you're working in an artistic approach on places where you usually don't have these artistic approaches. So for you as an artist, it gives you the chance to correct your violin, you know, to accord your violin according to really the holistic view of a life. We have a tendency sometimes to be in bubbles and not to see the other ones. While we go to these places, we have a huge kind of look on the society, you know, on all levels on society.
It's on all levels, and in this, it would be also a spiritual practice of empathy.
Yeah.
So I think your artists, clowns, could be great teachers of empathy, because they have to put themselves into the shoes of the other person, and mm-hmm. then find a way to be with it. And this is a quality that's so much needed, and mm-hmm. everybody wants to get empathy from others, but few people want to give it or are mm-hmm. even able to or feel mm-hmm. free to do it.
Yeah.
So I think on so many different dimensions, this approach could also help us in leadership and in organizations. And mm-hmm. I can't wait for my next victim for the next organization. And this is also, I can really recommend to everyone who listens to this podcast, to take it into consideration, either to explicitly invite Giora and his team to your organization in the one or other form, or also set the intention to allow for joy, to allow for playfulness, to give space to empathy, to true and deep human connections without getting too serious about it.
Yeah, especially if it's in cities which are on the beach, you know, somehow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're awesome.
No, that was fantastic. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say one word about this leadership, because we have all these fantastic buildings and theories about humanity and empathy. But as a leader, you also have to see about your team, you know, do they reach it? Don't they reach it? It's not an invitation for everything and everyone. It is an invitation for a certain part, a decision that you take. You know, you only can cover maybe a part of the cake and not the whole cake all the time. And our part is the humor way. Our part is the clown way. And this is not only an inspiration, it's a craft as well. So in this way, you have to be ambitious as well. it's out of not knowing and fear and being kind of a victim of the outer nature, you know, of or let's say the impotence against big natures, you know, wild animals, I don't know, whatever, you know, that created the need of culture, you know, mm-hmm. that created the form of praying, worshipping, I don't know what, first drawings and etc., etc. So every culture, the base, and I think we align very good in that, is not knowing and being.
It's not knowing. It when you say like it's a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
To cope with the incomprehensible.
Yeah.
With the confusion, and with, and I don't think, although we know so many things right now, it doesn't really help us like to acquire more knowledge.
No,
we have to acquire maybe more wisdom and humanity, and as you say, art is a coping mechanism.
And moments. Yes.
One last question I have to you.
Okay.
What is for you the secret to a happy and great life?
Don't give up laughing. To strive for, you know. I think this your body might. Kind of disappear bit by bit, but as long as your brain is open through your eyes to receive and to react and to respond, and also to respond with humor, I think it's a very vital life, you know. So I don't know if I have a secret, but don't give up and this approach to we all don't do enough, but use your body as long as you can, you know, so exercise your body, use it, don't go into retirement too easily, use your body because body and soul are one, and an active body as long as possible will nourish also all your possibilities to encounter.
Thank you, Gyora, for being with us today. And thank you, everyone, for listening to this conversation. I hope you enjoyed it. My name is Julia Cullen, and I was your host in today's episode. You can find all related links and contact information in our show notes. And I hope you're back for our next episode on the CCG podcast.